We continue with our studies, lesson 4 of LEAD, which is the practices of a disciple maker. As we said earlier, a practice is like a habit or a lifestyle, something that we build into our lives, not some formal thing we plan for, or you know, we have to create time specially for it. It's just in the rhythms of our everyday life. We're able to pray. We live a life of obedience. We serve people. If we stay conscious of the fact that we are servants, then there will be many opportunities for us to see how to serve and where to serve and who to serve. So so on and so forth. We've been looking at several. We have looked at 7. Now we look at the 8th practice of a disciple maker. In Luke chapter 10, our key underlying passage for lesson 4, Jesus said in verse 10 to 12, he says, "But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you.' But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." So when you look at this passage, Jesus says there are cities that will not receive you. So clearly, evangelism and seeking to make disciples, drawing people from darkness to light, it's not everyone you approach and everyone you talk to that will follow you. There are people that will refuse. They may even, you know, rebuff you, maybe even attack you. The point here is Jesus prepared his disciples to experience rejection in some places. Jesus himself was rejected. When you look at Matthew chapter 8 from verse 33, we're familiar with the story of the demoniac of Gadara, the man that had legion in him. In the Matthew's account talks about 2 men, but let's skip to verse 33. After the man had been delivered, it says in verse 33 of Matthew 8 that then those who kept the swine, those who were herders of the pigs that were drowned as a result of the demons coming into the pigs, then those who kept the swine fled and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. 34, and behold, the whole city came out to Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Chapter 9, verse 1. So he got into a boat and crossed over and came to his own city. Jesus had told his disciples that they should cross over. They should, you know, enter the boat and go to the other side. That's in chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side." What was Jesus going to do on the other side? To reach those cities, to reach the people who had not heard the gospel. There were unreached communities on the other side of the lake. So he had a clear mission intention. But here was a situation where he was refused entry just after one miracle that he did, delivering a demoniac. They told him, "Leave, leave, leave." They begged him, "Please get out of here. We don't want you in our city. Don't come to our region. We refuse you visa. We don't need you here. Please leave. In fact, we ban you from stepping in here anymore." Jesus did not argue with them. As Lord of the universe, he could easily have, you know, commanded the earth to open up and swallow them like Korah and those who rebelled against Moses. Jesus could have easily, you know, commanded lightning to strike them. But the Bible says he just turned around, entered the boat, and crossed back into his city again. Why did he do that? Because we do not force ourselves into situations. Jesus says, if they do not receive you, just march out. Just leave. Don't create a scene. Don't cause commotion. Just move on. There are people who want to argue others into salvation. They want to force and compel people to believe. It's not necessary. Remember, we said a moment ago that we need to identify and invest time with willing people. So what do we do with those who are unwilling? We exit. But we exit with grace. Jesus did not abuse them. He didn't rain curses on them. The other scripture we look at is in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And when we'll see what happens when Jesus again was in a situation where rejection happened. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" It looked like they were impressed. They were astonished. I say, wow, this thing that this man is saying, we've never heard it before. Who taught him these things? But in verse 3, you could see the cynicism and the sarcasm. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house." Now, verse 5, he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit healing. Jesus didn't force himself on them and say, "Now I am the prophet. Whether you regard me or not, I was born here and all of you must listen to me." No, he just left. That environment was not conducive. There are things he could not do there because of their unbelief. They hindered the work, the blessing that they could receive from him, because they did not recognize him. But Jesus did not argue. He did not try to force his way. He simply just moved on. We see in John chapter 1 again, a situation how Jesus practiced this particular habit that we are discussing. It says in verse 11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. So Jesus always gravitated towards those who would receive him, those who were hungry enough to receive his message. But those who refused him, he walked away from them. There are instances where scribes, Pharisees would come to him to test him, not to listen to him, but to test him, asking him, "Show us a sign and we would believe." And Jesus says, "No sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And Jesus would walk away from them. I thought he came to save all men, to preach. That is when you want to be sentimental, to force everyone to become a Christian. We are talking about principles here and learning from the patterns of Jesus. Evangelism, disciple making, is not about we convincing people. It's about us being led by the Spirit to people that God has prepared. And then we see fruit there because we are abiding in Christ and doing what he tells us to do. So Jesus walked away from them. His early disciples learned this way of living, and that's exactly what they did. If you look at Acts chapter 13, you'll see how the early church also practiced these same principles. Acts 13 from verse 45, it says, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul." So this was opposition and resistance in a place where Paul and Barnabas had gone to preach. Verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves worthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Verse 48, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord." Look at verse 50. "But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium." Just obeying what Jesus said to be done. They didn't force their way. They didn't insist on staying there. They simply did what Jesus said they should do. Shake off the dust and move on. However, they invested time with the Gentiles who were willing to listen, who received their word gladly. When you jump further to Acts chapter 18, verse 4, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every day, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him, when they opposed Paul and his message, and they blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." You see a consistent pattern here. Once you face opposition from people who say, "We do not want your message," then move on. Don't create a scene. This is different from spiritual opposition, where you sense that the people are under bondage and it's the enemy seeking to prevent you. Then we need to fight through spiritually in the secret place. We need to wage war on our knees and pull down the strongholds operating there. But in this case, it's people who are openly in public saying, "We don't want this message." You don't create a scene. You exit with grace. Then we look at chapter 19, another situation from verse 8. It says, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some," that's Acts 19 verse 9 now, "but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus." What was the result? "And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." There is greater fruit and result and breakthrough in reaching people with the gospel when we focus on the few who are open, rather than trying to, you know, impose our message on the many who are resisting. So we exit with grace. Notice in the examples of Jesus and in the examples of Paul that we have just studied, in all those cases, they didn't pronounce curses on the people. They did not pronounce curses and create a scene. They simply just, you know, moved on. But you exit with grace. One time, Jesus was passing through a city of the Samaritans, and James and John, Jesus was resisted. The Samaritan said, you will not pass through our town. And James and John came to Jesus and said, "We just need your permission to call down fire and roast everybody in this city, just like Elijah did." Jesus didn't give them permission. He said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to save them." Jesus didn't force his way into the city, say, "I am the Messiah. I've come to save all of you. You must allow me. In fact, bow to me." No. Jesus simply took another route. So we exit, whenever there is resistance to the gospel, we exit with grace. There's a testimony that I'd like to share. Some few years ago, one of the mission agencies that we are partnering with, their missionaries were working among an unreached people group in a very, very Muslim-dominated part of Kenya. And a dominant tribe in the area that is almost 100% Muslim incited that particular community or that village against the missionaries. The missionaries had already built a school for the community and reaching out through the love of, with the love of Christ, but the community rose up against the missionaries, spreading malicious stories and lies about them, and eventually they incited the whole authorities in the area against them and drove them out, told them to leave. This is after they had made heavy investments, a few years of ministry there, educating the children and doing several other things as a blessing to the community. So the missionaries left, and after a year or so of praying and seeking direction, God led them to another village of the same people group in another location. And they are still there till today, doing an amazing work for the Lord and advancing the gospel. They did not force, they did not try. I've been to both of these villages. Now the point here is that when those in the former location heard what was happening in this new village, they began to plead with the missionaries to return. Say, "We need you now. Please come back." But of course, they had already started a new work in another location. So there are many other examples of such. But the point here is that the disciple maker exits with grace. So your context may be different. It may not be a village among an unreached people group, but wherever we go to, we are not to force our way in, create a scene, and demand to be heard, we exit with grace. When we face opposition, resistance from the people, where they say, we don't want this message, like Jesus, like his early disciples, we move on and we seek out willing and prepared hearts where we can invest time to make disciples. So, in summary, we have been looking at the practices of the disciple maker, and we have examined 8 things that Jesus specifically told his disciples to do as they go out on the mission he had sent them and he is sending us. And these 8 things are: pray always, cultivate a lifestyle of prayer to hear God and to intercede for the lost. Number 2, obey God, live in obedience to the commands of Scripture, make obedient disciples. Number 3, we are to serve people. We are to seek opportunities to bless people in various ways. We are to be servants. Number 4, we are to initiate relationships through conversations. We are to start simple conversations that open people up to God. And then number 5, we are to take risks. That means interacting with people outside of our natural or spiritual social circles. Number 6, another practice of the disciple maker is to identify the willing. Find and invest time with those who are prepared by God to receive you and receive your message. Number 7, we said it is to visit and host. We are to get to know people and live and practice hospitality ourselves. And then finally, where we face resistance by the people and rejection of our message, we are to exit with grace. If our message is rejected, we shouldn't fuss. We should leave a blessing and move on. We call this the positive lifestyle of a disciple maker. P for prayer, O for obedience, S for serving people, I for initiating conversations, T for taking risks or trusting God or traveling light, whichever, I for identifying the willing, V for visiting and hosting people, and then E for exiting with grace. These are the culture, the lifestyle, the practices, the habits of a disciple maker.